Good morning. Continuing our journey along the road with Christ through Lent, we've come today to this beautiful church of St. Peter and Paul in Fareham, Hampshire. And in the name of the vicar, the Reverend Leslie Chadd, and his clergy, I welcome you to our act of worship. The church here spans more than 1,000 years history, and it may be even, in fact, a good deal more than that, because part of the church has Saxon origins. Our act of worship this morning centers upon Christ's temptation to throw himself from the pinnacle of the temple. He, of course, refused to do it. He refused to take what is an unnecessary and, in fact, ridiculous risk. Life itself is made up of all kinds of necessary and unavoidable risks. We have to risk things if life is to be livable at all. But the ridiculous and unnecessary risks, why, they are to be avoided. Jesus was to go on and face the greatest risk of his life. He was to risk absolutely everything. And of course, through that risk, the cross, he came to the glory and the victory of the resurrection. By his power then, and in his name, let us now begin our act of worship.
Of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Dear friends in Christ, our thoughts today are directed towards our Lord's temptations in the desert, particularly in the temptation to follow the road of power rather than the road of love. the road of the cross. To prepare ourselves to offer our worship, let us call to mind our sins and confess them to our Heavenly Father. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God, whose most dear Son went not up to joy, but first he suffered pain, and entered not into glory before he was crucified, mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of the cross, may find it none other than the way of life and peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
A reading from the book of Genesis. In this lesson, we hear the story of how man, the first Adam, was tempted to seize power over the world by grasping the fruit of the forbidden tree. The serpent was the most subtle of all the wild beasts that the Lord God had made. It asked the woman, "Did God really say you were not to eat from any of the trees in the garden?" The woman answered the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but of the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said, you must not eat it, nor touch it under pain of death." Then the serpent said to the woman, "No, you will not die. God knows, in fact, that on the day you eat it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like gods, knowing good and evil." The woman saw that the tree was good to eat and pleasing to the eye, and that it was desirable for the knowledge that it could give. So she took some of its fruit and ate it. She gave some also to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. The man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man. "Where are you?" he asked. "I heard the sound of you in the garden," he replied, "and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." "Who told you that you were naked?" he asked. "Have you been eating of the tree that I forbade you to eat?" The man replied, "It was the woman you put with me. She gave me the fruit and I ate it." Then the Lord God asked the woman, "What is this that you have done?" And the woman replied, "The serpent tempted me and I ate." This is the word of the Lord.
A reading from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. St. Paul reminds us of the paradox of the cross, the tree of Adam's sin. The tree of death becomes the tree of life. The folly of the cross is divine wisdom. The defeat is God's victory. The helplessness of love is its power. The language of the cross may be illogical to those who are not on the way to salvation, but those of us who are on the way see it as God's power to save. As Scripture says, I shall destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing all the learning of the learned. Where are the philosophers now? Where are the scribes? Where are any of our thinkers today? Do you see now how God has shown up the foolishness of human wisdom? If it was God's wisdom that human wisdom should not know God, it was because God wanted to save those who have faith through the foolishness of the message that we preach. And so, while the Jews demand miracles and the Greeks look for wisdom, here are we preaching a crucified Christ. To the Jews, an obstacle that they cannot get over. To the pagans, madness. But to those who have been called, whether they are Jews or Greeks, a Christ who is the power and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. This is the word of the Lord.
Reading from the Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to Christ.
Then Jesus was led by the Spirit out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The devil took him to the holy city and made him stand on the parapet of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for Scripture says, he will put you in his angels' charge, and they will support you on their hands in case you hurt your foot against the stone. Jesus said to him, Scripture also says, you must not put the Lord your God to the test. This is the Gospel of Christ.
Praise Christ, our Lord.
I don't know if my eldest daughter Elizabeth is watching this broadcast, but if you are, Liz, I wonder if you remember a little incident that happened, 17 or 18 years ago. I don't suppose you do, because you were only 3 or 4 at the time. But it stuck very firmly in my memory over all those years. We'd gone to the park, you and me, and you went on the swings. And I'd been pushing you on the swings higher and higher until it was time to go home. And then I said, unthinkingly, come on, Liz, time to go now. And to my horror, you just got off the swing in mid-flight. Fortunately, I caught you. If I hadn't, you would have been badly hurt. I suppose you thought to yourself, well, Dad says it's time to go, so here goes. I suppose you said, well, he's my dad, he'll look after me. I won't come to any harm. And how thankful I was that I was able to catch you full toss, so to speak. If it had been on first bounce, there would have been an awful accident. If I had been in the wrong place, though, I couldn't have saved you. I just couldn't have done anything about it. I couldn't have kept you from harm. See, love can't do impossible things like that. Superman can, or Batman, or Superwoman, and those sort of people, but ordinary human beings can't. Love isn't powerful in that sort of way. It can't do anything it wants to. Love can't keep from harm or guarantee freedom from pain. How we wish it could. Especially when it comes to God. God is love, we say. But we'd like him to be all-powerful as well. We'd like God to be able to do anything, especially when it comes to keeping us from harm. But can't God do everything? Isn't that what we mean when we talk about Almighty God? Or in the words of some of the new prayers which begin, all-powerful and ever-living God, isn't that what it means? God who can do anything at all? Well, it can't mean that. We'd like to think it could. We'd like a God who could do the impossible. And that's why we say things like, why did God let my baby die? Or why did God take my husband from me? Or why did God allow my brother to be killed in a plane crash? And I suppose we've all thought or said something like that at some time or another. It's a very natural thing to want a God who can keep us from harm. A God of power. A God who is a sort of Superman, who can do all sorts of magic tricks. But is that what God is really like? Let's think again about that gospel reading that we heard a few minutes ago and look at Jesus in that gospel story. Go on, Satan said to him, jump off the top of the temple. Go on, if you're the Son of God, if. You won't come to any harm. And it'll prove that you are. And that will pull in the crowds. They'll just flock to follow you then. But could God have saved him, I wonder? Could God really have protected him? Could God have held up the force of gravity which keeps the world in its place and which makes it possible for us to build great buildings like temples? Could God have stopped all that so that Jesus had floated safely down to the ground? And we have to say, no, he couldn't. Not that sort of God. God is love, not a sort of super magician up in the sky. And love is not powerful in that sort of way at all. In fact, love is often powerless and weak and helpless and vulnerable. You can wound it. You can do what you like with it. And so Jesus has to resist the temptation to be a sort of Superman, to be a conjurer, a magician, if he is to be one of us and if he's to show us what God is like. Love not power. And that's why the road he chooses leads inevitably to the cross. It's a road in which he puts himself in our power. And if we want to, we can kill him. We can do what we like with this sort of love. And he can't stop us without ceasing to love. Even on the cross, the temptation is still there. If you are the Son of God, the crowd shouted, if you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. There's a trick that'll convince us. We'll believe you then. And it would have been a very powerful trick. But divine love can't do that. Any more than my love for my daughter could have saved her from harm on that swing. But there is one thing that divine love can do. And this is the all-important thing and more powerful than any other force in the world. Love can enter into our pain. And that we must never lose sight of. Love can enter into our pain, even into our death. Not God the super magician, God the great puppet controller, making us dance to his whim, but God who enters into, who shares our pain and our death. So whatever your pain may be, whether you're present here in this congregation or watching us at home, whatever your pain may be, sickness or sorrow, bereavement, perhaps even the threat of death, don't say, why has God done this to me? Instead, look at the cross and say, God is sharing this with me. And the wonderful paradox of that is that we find that that love is powerful because it transforms our pain. It transforms it by entering into it and transforms it from within. So this road of the cross leads on to Easter and becomes a road of victory. But a road of love, not power, even when it leads to the cross. Most of all when it leads to the cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us now make together our profession of faith. We believe in one God, Father the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, one in being with the Father, through him all things are made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he was born of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified and Pontius Pilate. He suffered, died, and was buried. On the third day he rose again in fulfillment of the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and he seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and that his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Let us thank God for his goodness, and let us pray for all people and for their needs.
Father, we thank you for all your love and care. We thank you for our creation and for all the happiness of life. Above all, we thank you for Jesus, our Lord, that he shares our temptations, our problems, and our pain. Lord, hear us.
Lord, gracious, hear us.
We ask you to bless your church throughout the world. Especially we pray for all Christians suffering persecution and hardship. Help us all to walk in the way of the cross. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
We pray for the peace of the world, for all places torn apart by hatred and violence, and for all governments. We ask you to bless our own country, Elizabeth our Queen, the Prime Minister and government, and all in authority. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
Father, we ask you to bless all who suffer and to keep them mindful of your love, which shares their suffering. We pray for the poor, the homeless, the hungry, the unemployed. We pray for the lonely and the bereaved. We ask you to bless the sick in mind or body, especially those known to us, and those who are joining with us now at home or in hospital. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
In communion with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and all the saints, we pray for all who have died, especially those known to us. May they find a place of rest and peace in your presence. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
Father, we ask you to bless all who are sharing this service with us and all who are making it possible. May their prayers and needs be joined to our prayers, which we offer in and through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Become the bread of life. Blessed are you, Lord God, King of the universe. Through your goodness we have this wine to offer, fruit of the vine and work of human hands. It will become the cup of salvation.
Blessed be God forever.
We give you thanks and praise, Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord. For he is your living Word, through him you have created all things from the beginning, and formed us in your own image. Through him you have freed us from the slavery of sin, giving him to be born as man, to die upon the cross, and to rise again for us. Through him you have made us a people for your own possession, exalting him to your right hand on high, and sending upon us your holy and life-giving Spirit. And now we give you thanks, because for our salvation he was obedient even to death on the cross. The tree of defeat became the tree of glory, and where life was lost, their life has been restored. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and singing. Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us his body and his blood. For in the same night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and after giving you thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
You remember this spirit?
Again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave you thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Therefore, Heavenly Father, having in remembrance his death upon the cross, his mighty resurrection, and his glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we offer you this bread and this cup. We ask you to accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts in the presence of your divine majesty, renew us by your Spirit, inspire us with your love, and unite us in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. With him, and in him, and through him, by the power of the Holy Spirit, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Let us proclaim the mystery of faith. Body of Christ. As our Savior Christ has commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
to sit. Beloved, we have been filled with the sacrament of Christ's love to aid us in our journey along the road, a road which leads to the cross. We share in his road, we share in his cross, because he enters into our pain, our life, our problems, our sorrows, even into our death. So he transforms our life and transforms our death as we look forward to the celebration of the joy of Eastertide, the victory of God in human life over sin and pain and death. Let us pray. Father, we ask you to bless us and all who have joined with us. As we follow with Christ in the road to the cross, fill us with your Spirit and enable us to spread the knowledge of your love in all the world. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Almighty God, we thank you.
Peace and blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.
Thank you.
So with Father Leslie's blessing, and after that great and magnificent hymn that we've just sung, we now make our way towards our next stage of the journey. And for this, we are going to the Central Methodist Church in Bromley in Kent. And there we'll think about Christ's third and great temptation to fall down and worship a false idol and be given in its place the kingdoms of this world. So till then, have a happy and peaceful week. Bye-bye and God bless you.